Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Born in the 1940s, We Remember. I woke up this morning thinking to myself, we like Ike, we like Ike. And how much the world has changed since those days.
I like Ike, yeah.
Do you remember that, Jim?
Of course.
I remember having a button that said, you know, we like Ike. And then I remember, Kennedy, Nixon. You know, I mean, in the days where our politics hadn't degraded to the level that they're at now, of a total freak show that even P.T. Barnum would be jealous of, because this is the greatest show on earth.
It's like a carnival. It's ridiculous. It's like vaudeville. Nothing is real. And when Hillary is using body doubles and voice doubles, I mean, we've sunk to a low never before seen in the history of American politics.
Well, sunk to a low. I mean, I'm looking at all these different things coming in this morning. First of all, I did watch the entire debate, to my own disgust. I took I have 6 handwritten pages of notes that I took. The first thing that I noticed was fat face, ugly Sheldon Adelson with his arms around, you know, all the players. Then I saw, you know, Giuliani, the criminal of 9/11, who, by the way, this morning, Rudy Giuliani said that perhaps Trump should not do any more debates.
What?
Yep. I posted that story.
Why would anyone say such a thing?
Well, you know, Fox News is kind of in the dark now. They don't know what to do because he did such a crappy job. Howard Dean came out and said it sure looked like with Trump's sniffling, and I see that Morning Joe Scarborough picked up the same story and accused him of being on cocaine last night.
Oh, that's ridiculous. They set up the mic extra sensitive so you could even hear him breathing or sniffling. They didn't do the same for Hillary. I mean, This is just propaganda, Maria. Why would Giuliani be suggesting he shouldn't do more debate?
Oh, because look, I watched it, and Trump can't blame his ignorance on his microphone, okay? He hung himself every time he opened his mouth. I couldn't believe it. He fell into every trap set.
Maria, we have major differences here. Major differences. I thought Trump did a wonderful job.
Oh, my God. What about?
Let me give you my short take, and then
sure.
We can.
Okay.
Rebut, okay.
All right, and we'll do this as human beings. Something we're not going to see on TV. That's for sure.
Like a heavyweight bout where they were exchanging blow for blow. I mean, just as a global impression, he was clearly her equal. They belong together in the arena, and he demonstrated he has the capacity to be commander in chief. Number two. He had lots of facts and figures, very detailed, specific information to substantiate his positions. That was impressive in and of himself. And he conveyed why having a businessman in that position can make such a difference to the country. And then number three, all the debate totals have been favoring Trump. I spent 2 hours discussing the debate with Jeff Rentz last night and Preston James. I went through 10 different polls, Maria. Every single one had Trump leading by a minimum of 10 to 15%. And just to cap it off, the most impressive one was CNBC, which last night had him leading by an enormous margin. This morning has nearly a million participants, 976,950, showing Trump prevailing by 67% to 33%.
Okay, well, I have too many notes to simplify it in just 3, but you know, 2 things that I could throw.
Global over. Go ahead.
All right, 2 things Trump admits he made $694 million last year, and yet he admitted he pays no federal tax because he's smart. What'd you think of that one, Jim?
But that's not, it just doesn't bother me, Maria. If you're a clever businessman, he's hardly the only millionaire or billionaire who doesn't pay a lot of taxes. But maybe even zero.
But him not paying taxes, that falls on the middle class. That's screwing the middle class. Plus, he's gone bankrupt six times. The other thing is, forget the debate, okay? Let's just forget the debate. What people are still not aware of is Hillary already has 259 electoral votes. Nobody's talking about that. And you and I both know it's the Electoral College that picks the president, that our votes don't matter, no matter how much we fight between ourselves, whether we're pro-Hillary, pro-Trump. Our vote doesn't matter. The election of 2000 proved that.
Maria, we have some real differences here.
I know we do.
Trump has taken the lead in many of the key states, even including Colorado. Several commentators have observed if Trump can win Colorado, he's going to win the election. He is competitive across the board, and he's growing stronger. The trend is all against Hillary. She's been dropping. Trump is getting stronger, and last night is going to make him even more strong. He debunked the claim that he'd been in favor of the war in Iraq by observing that was just a casual remark on a Howard Stern show before he gave it a lot of thought, and that he came out vigorously against it thereafter, had many arguments with Sean Hannity, and I have no doubt Trump was vigorously against the war. Hillary not only is for all these wars, but she said when she become president, she could bomb Iran. That would be a catastrophe of unimaginable proportions, totally unjustifiable. The bankruptcy thing, you're simply missing the fact that the bankruptcy can be a legal move to protect a company from certain kinds of forms of indebtedness. That is a common strategy in business. It doesn't mean anything.
Jim, will he use that strategy to bankrupt America?
He's not going to bankrupt America. He's going to get us out of the problem. He's used to dealing with large sums of money, Maria.
Obviously, other people's money.
McDonald is not intimidated by the fact that we're $20 trillion in debt. He's got a plan to get us out of it. I don't doubt that he'll do much, much better. Listen, Maria, the bottom line is, if Hillary's election, it's more of the same. 70% of the country believes we're on the wrong track. They're not going to vote for Hillary.
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, I will tell you this because I know, you know, you were doing another show this morning, so I know you were busy. But this is Newsweek this morning published Trump versus Clinton, the rest of the world reacts. And it starts out with the international press handed Hillary Clinton the victory in the debate. But media in Russia and China were less keen to declare her opponent, Trump, the loser. When Trump started talking about, you know, manufacturing leaving this country, did he forget that his clothing lines, his daughter's clothing lines, are all produced out of the country? I mean, he was so hypocritical, and he fell into every single trap she laid.
Maria, you're misunderstanding completely. He's operating now in accordance with the law and the situation as it is. He's manufacturing there because it's cheaper now. That doesn't mean he thinks that's good for the country. He wants to change it. You're being played. I hate to say this. Newsweek is another propaganda organ. The New York Times, the Washington Post, NBC, CBS, these are all propaganda organs. They're fiercely attacking Trump. You cannot naively accept anything you're reading in a mainstream publication like Newsweek.
Well, okay. But, you know, I went over to World Socialist website, who hates everybody, and they had a really good article this morning. They called the Clinton-Trump debate a degrading spectacle. And I can't disagree with that. It just says, you know, here you have basically, you know, the two-party system that's always been on the side of the rich. They call Trump the personification of business gangsterism. They call Clinton the personification of political gangsterism. So I think they really see it clearly for what it is. Again, we have no choice because all the players were there. All the money people were there, and neither one of us get to ever pick the candidate. And I understand Jill Stein was kicked out of Hofstra's parking lot while she was trying to talk. which was Shades of Ralph Nader. So you look at this, and I have to tell you, I watched the whole thing. You know I'm no fan of Hillary, okay? But one thing you can say about Hillary is she's intelligent. We can't take that away from her, Jim. You know, that would be like saying I'm not intelligent.
Totally predicted, totally scripted, told us nothing new. Trump rebutted a number of the claims that have been made to attack him and showed that they have no substance whatsoever. What you have to bear in mind is that this is a change election. Hillary represents continuity, the status quo, another term for Barack Obama. The establishment may want that. The people do not. And the poll results afterwards were overwhelmingly in favor of Trump. Drudge had a post-debate poll that had Trump ahead 81% to Clinton 19. A CBS local news affiliate in New York City had Trump. This is last night now, 57-42. A NewJersey.com poll showed last night Trump ahead by 53-42. And today had it 57-37. We have another one that the right scoop had last night, Trump ahead by 65-26, and this morning by 71-22.
Well,
I'm telling you, there's some phony polls out there, but the reaction at the time was legit. Here's an obvious fake poll from AOL. It had Clinton 41, Trump 32, don't know 27. It doesn't specify the number involved. And those reports are ridiculous. You're not going to have 27% who don't know who won the debate.
Listen,
it was even made up before they even held the debate.
Right. Listen, I don't give a lot of credibility to several of those people you mentioned, and I certainly give zero to polls at all now after 2000. But you and I are going to disagree on this. But I watched the debate, and Trump acted like a rude big baby. I couldn't believe that he kept saying, no, I didn't, no, I didn't, no, I didn't. Just like a little baby. I was like, what the hell is wrong with him?
Oh.
And I want to read you this statistic.
I'm really appalled to hear you say that.
He was
very restrained. He was.
We must have been watching it. We must have been watching. He was restrained.
On several occasions and did not, which was all to his credit. Hillary was totally scripted, robotic. It was ridiculous. Everyone give credit for that kind of performance, in my opinion.
Well, she didn't lose her cool, and he did, and that was big.
He did not lose his cool. When the hell did he lose his cool?
Every time he started screaming at her.
I'm losing my cool more with you right now than he lost his cool, Hillary, on the stage with 100 million people watching.
All right, so let's not become enemies over a fake election that's not going to make a difference in our lives. Here's a statistic.
Well, here's the thing, Leah. The cynicism about the system, I understand. But we're down to two choices. And when you have one who is opposed to the endless wars in the Middle East, which Hillary has supported and would continue, and one who is opposed to the TPP, which would even savage the sovereignty of the United States, the other of whom supports it, I don't think it's that tough a choice.
I'm not defending her at all. I am totally in agreement with the danger that she is. They are both, in my opinion, dangerous. But listen to this, and then we'll talk like human beings. First of its kind study shows 55,400 people hospitalized or killed by U.S. cops in a single year. Did you hear that figure? Last night, Trump's answer is bring back stop and frisk, which has been proven to be unconstitutional and racial. Didn't you get offended at that?
He had a good response to the claim of unconstitutionality. It was simply not appealed. It wasn't shown to be unconstitutional. That would be a ruling by a judge, but that wouldn't make it the fact of the matter. It would have to go to the court, the Supreme Court. But the fact of the matter, that's only one measure. I have long believed that Chicago had the most stringent gun control laws in the
country.
Exactly. Studies have shown when you ban guns, crime goes up. It's been repeatedly shown, Maria. Now, it turns out that Los Angeles and New York City today have gun laws that are just as stringent as New York. But he's talking about the stop and frisk that was employed in New York City that seems to have had a substantial reduction in crime on the street. So he's offering that as an example of what could be done. I think the cop shooting gives, it looks to me like this is being fostered to try to make the people less trustful of government, as though they needed any more excuse. But it's certainly inexcusable to have the police shooting all these unarmed citizens. And the question becomes, what can be done about it?
Well, that's the answer, though. But he's all more law and order. Well, that's not
the
answer.
What? And what is Hillary's answer?
Community policing. My answer is disarm the cops. That's my answer. I would have loved 55,400 Americans a year. Okay.
I love it.
All right. We got bigger fish to fry than the fake election. So I want to get on to important stories. Deutsche Bank taking a dive just like Lehman Brothers. Looking for Germany to bail out Deutsche Bank. What do you think about that? Merkel says there's no way she's bailing out Deutsche Bank.
Well, I think it's always been a mistake to have banks that are too big to fail. That's an excuse for them to act in corrupt fashion and, you know, and betray their stockholders. Let the bank fail. I mean, you know, I don't think that governments ought to be bailing out banks. I think it was a mistake when it was done here in the United States, and we were conned into doing it by some smooth, silver-tongued devils who are representing the big banks themselves. So I have no problem with big banks being allowed to fail.
Right. Do you think that that's going to have a ripple effect here since this market dropped like nobody's business yesterday over it?
Well, there is, of course, that threat. We've been told that there's a potential for an economic collapse for about the last 2 or 3 years. And I believe it's real. But look, how do you possibly deal with a situation like this without scamming the people again and again and again? I mean, it means that there's an open pocketbook where the banks can just take all the money they want, squander it any way they want. The corruption has a price, and it may be that the price in this case is going to be economic collapse. That's going to be very painful for all of us, including you and me.
Absolutely.
But I don't see how we can continue this level of corruption.
Right. Well, you know, yesterday I saw an interview with Gary Johnson, and, you know, sometimes he says really stupid things, and sometimes he says really good things. So he's kind of hard. He's a hard duck to try to figure this guy out. But they were asking Gary Johnson, I forget, I think it might have been on, it might have actually been on Fox News, what he thought about the bank bailouts and what he would have done if he was president. And he very clearly said he would have let them fail. He says, you know, the average American, you know, you're insured up to $250,000, which is ignorant on his part because there's no money in the FDIC. He says, and, you know, he said, well, what do you say to people that have more than $250,000 in the bank? He says, the people that have more than that don't keep their money in the bank. And he was very clear, like any other business, they fail and they should be allowed to fail.
Oh, we agree. I agree with Gary. That's my position, as you heard me state it.
Right. So, you know, I said, okay, so, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I keep trying to watch everybody. And I got to tell you, Jim, I'm on burnout, okay? I can't keep up with all the shootings, stabbings, and whatnot in this country anymore. I can't tell one shooting or stabbing or bombing apart from any of the other. And as you know, you know, I've been going through a lot of physical stuff, too. So, you know, next month, I'm definitely taking a whole week off. Just, I've got to recoup. And, you know, you look at this and, you know, and I keep telling people, stop arguing with your family and friends, especially over this election. So many people are in a deep depression. You know, here I am in Republicanville and I see all my senior friends, especially every day at the gym, and they're all Republicans and they're all telling me they're not voting. They won't watch it on TV. Everybody is like in a, I don't know, maybe a state of shock. You know, remember, they're our age, and some of them are older than you, Jim. So they remember. I don't mean that in a bad way. Well, I know you've got a few years on me, okay? So,
you know, the thing about family, my wife and I have had some of the worst arguments of our marriage, which began in 1977 because of this election. She's firmly for Hillary, and I'm just as firmly for Trump. So we've had some, you know, rather heated exchanges, which aren't good. right. or marital relationship.
No,
so,
it's
you know,
not. I mean,
I,
you got.
I'm doing my best to avoid it.
How long have you two been married?
Since 1977.
Wow. Okay. Academy Award for you. But here's what, every now and then, you know, because listen, it's so easy to get caught up in this, and that's how they lead us all around by the nose, divide and conquer. Every now and then I will put up a post, please don't fight with your family and friends. Remember, all these elections are stolen. Your vote doesn't matter. Why are you fighting with people you love? Losing friends. People are ending friendships, ending marriages. Over what's a big, fat fucking illusion, okay? Now, you remember in 2000, that was the most...
Oh, wow.
Well, listen, the cursing I did on my show yesterday, I'm surprised my listeners came back today, okay? Because I truly am. I'm on my last nerve here, all right? This is that same little girl that grew up, the strongest patriot you could ever get in an elementary school, okay? If I got to carry the flag into assembly, I had sparks shooting out of my ass, okay? And I'm looking at the destruction of my country, and I'm watching the Mutt and Jeff show. This is the same thing the FBI does, or cops will do, you know, the good guy, bad cop routine, okay? She's going to fix everything. He's telling us how bad everything is. She's telling us how good everything is. The bottom line is they're both Rothschild Rockefeller picks. We got nothing to say about it. Polls don't matter, as they said when George Bush stole the election. That was the first time in history that they said polls don't matter. Do you remember that?
Well, not only that, Maria, but, you know, they dispense with exit polling too. And that exit polling is our safeguard against fraud and election theft, so that the idea of having, you know, no exit polling indicates something is terribly wrong.
Exactly.
This business with Rudy Giuliani disturbs me profoundly. Why in God's name would he say that?
Who the hell knows? Why would he be a participant in 9/11 and people still think he's America's mayor? Okay.
I know. It is ridiculous.
So, I mean, you know, this is the way, you know, this is the way it all seems to go. Let's see if I can find that Giuliani. Lester,
I'm looking for it right now.
Lester Holt, the NBC News anchor who moderated the debate, should be ashamed of himself, Giuliani said. He said Holt was wrong to try to fact check Trump on the constitutionality of stop and frisk. If I were Donald Trump, I wouldn't participate in another debate until I was promised that the journalist would act like a journalist and not like an ignorant fact checker. That's
ignorant. It was a huge mistake of Lester Holt to assume that.
First of all, you're a retired school professor, okay? Now let me ask you this, because I've done a lot of teaching in front of large audiences in my life too. The largest audience I ever had was 25,000 people, okay? What did you think about Holt losing control as the moderator over and over again? Did you ever lose your class to that one pain in the ass that wants to interrupt constantly? I mean, I never lost my audience. I never lost my audience. I would never allow that to happen. And he sat there like a dolt and just let it happen.
You and I are both rather strong presences in a classroom or lecture hall and would not be likely to allow that to happen. But Lester was in an impossible situation where they were both eager to rebut the other. And, you know, apart from his intervention about the fact checking, while he did lose control, I didn't think it was overly significant. I didn't think much of it.
Well, I can listen. I after that, I found an old T-shirt that my kids bought me years ago. The T-shirt said, "I'd rather be watching General Hospital." And I put that up on my Facebook page. And I said it would be more entertaining and more educational than what we saw, you know, last night. But here we want to move. I want to ask you about New York City's bombing, the latest bombing. Okay, where miraculously they solved the crime in less than 24 hours. Come on, Jim, what was that about?
Oh, Murray, it was all ridiculous. This was a pressure cooker bomb that's supposed to bring back shades of the Boston bombing,
right,
which was a complete charade. I have a whole book, and Nobody Died in Boston Either, with like 15 contributors, where we demonstrate that the Boston bombing was a setup, that the police were on bullhorns calling out, "This is a drill, this is a drill," that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb will be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, the second tweet saying that one will be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, and 1 minute later, one is set off in front of the Boston Public Library. Whereas a former artillery officer in the Marine Corps, I can assure you those were puff pieces. They didn't have enough explosive force to kill anybody. And we look through the smoke, we see bodies lying there with missing arms and legs, but no blood. That's a physiological impossibility. If their limbs had just been blown off, they were actually using amputee actors. The blood came down later. It was Hollywood blood, came out of tubes. They even use a smoke machine. Maria, I was stunned by that. We searched through the videos and photographs after Nathan Foulkes, a Hollywood producer, director, raised the possibility and found it. I was so astonished, I put a photograph of the studio quality smoke machine on the back cover of the book, which anyone can get at moonrockbooks.com if they want to understand what really happened. This is to play on the fears of the American people, make us feel more dependent on the government. Mm-hmm. Of course, he would have to be a Muslim, just as the brothers who were framed in Boston were Muslim, just as the couple that was framed in San Bernardino were Muslim. We even have the Craigslist ad for extras in San Bernardino, Maria, where it says there's good pay, transportation, food, some speaking roles. The call date is December 1st, going live on the 2nd. In fact, I had a very high-quality paramedic go through the medical, the response to the alleged emergencies at both Sandy Hook and San Bernardino. And he pointed out one violation of procedure after another, substantiating the whole thing was a fraud in both instances. You can find it online, the real deal, staging attacks from Sandy Hook to San Bernardino. This thing in New York was just ridiculous. The guy was virtually a homeless person. He made no real effort to get away. It was just embarrassing, in my opinion, the amateurish quality of it.
Well, how about the fact that the father admitted that 2 years earlier he told the FBI his son was, you know, bending towards being interested in Al-Qaeda, terrorist readings, writings, this and that, and the FBI did nothing. And all I could think of were the perpetrators of 9/11 living in the same apartment buildings in Florida with the FBI.
Well, the FBI perpetrates most of these actions itself. The FBI is involved in these things. Just as the Connecticut State Police set up the situation at Sandy Hook, they even took photographs of it that they never expected to get out into the public domain. I published 100 of these photographs in the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, when we found a new publisher, a new outlet after it had been banned by Amazon.com because it blew apart the Obama administration's gun control agenda by proving that the school had been closed by 2008, that it was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards, that it wasn't compliant with American for Disability Act requirements and therefore could not have been legally operating in 2012. The whole thing an elaborate hoax. I mean, I can't tell you how much our government has descended into spending all its time deceiving and misleading the American people on the basis of propaganda and disinformation, which continues now with Hillary and her use of body doubles and voice doubles. It's just shameless.
Well, let's talk about it. I'm trying to pick up. Remember, I don't think it was the bomber in New York. There was another event right after that where they also got the perpetrator. I think it was the stabbing in a mall. And they said that when they picked him up, he looked like he was dazed or in a trance. Now, don't you think Manchurian candidate for pretty much every one of these things that happens?
Well, they do have a lot of weak-minded persons who are under mind control to one degree or another, and I do think the case in the Minneapolis Mall is almost certainly one of those.
I finally found it. It wasn't even Minneapolis. I told you I can't keep track of these things, Jim. It was the guy that shot five people outside of Seattle. And he is exactly what they say when they see him just walking on the sidewalk after he kills four women at a mall in north of Seattle. They say he was carrying a satchel with a computer inside and was in a zombie-like state when he was taken into custody. Now, doesn't that sound familiar?
Yeah, sure, of course. I mean, so much of this is ridiculous nonsense, and they're trying to, you know, throw the American people off balance psychologically to feel more dependent on the government. It is embarrassing. Maria, how much of this nonsense is floating around out there and we're supposed to take it seriously? It's palpable crap. It's unreal.
Well, what about this lawyer that went on a killing spree dressed as in a Nazi uniform? Did you see that story?
This guy turns out to be a lawyer?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Troubled lawyer injures nine in Houston shooting rampage before being killed by police. That makes 25 mass shootings in September, and they said he was wearing a Nazi uniform. This is a shooting in Houston.
There's something really weird about that case, I gotta tell you. Something really weird about that case.
Are people going more crazy today, or do you think they're just amping up these kind of Manchurian candidates or psychopaths?
Well, they're amping them up. There's no doubt about it. Amping them up.
So all towards what? Total surveillance society and police state?
You want, if you can, to find an excuse to impose martial law and remain in office indefinitely. I'm talking Barack Obama. And I think that the provocations in Syria, where the United States attacked the Syrian army, violating the ceasefire agreement, the Russians had actually warned them twice that they appeared to be, going after the wrong target. Mm-hmm. The Russians have now retaliated by taking out the command and control center that had officers from the United States, Israel, and Turkey, killing 30 or 40 of these guys. I mean, it was a brilliant stroke from a military point of view, because these were the parties that were directly responsible, and now imposing a no-fly zone over Syria, dictating that any plane that flies over Syria without Syrian and Russian authorization will be shot down. And Maria, they have the best surface-to-air missiles in the world.
Well, yeah, and they also admitted to having taken out several of the Mossad, and I was like, yay, at least they're hitting the right targets for a change. Jim, we got to go to a short break. Stay with us. Jim and I will be right back.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Rhea's in it just like you are. Often imitated but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Welcome back to Born in the 40s. We remember, and I think we remember too much sometimes, Jim. I need a new hard drive in my brain. When we were kids, I mean, we really bought it. We bought it hook, line, and sinker. Okay. And we did live in happy days by comparison. I saw this one Ohio woman. I think she was the Ohio Trump campaign leader, and she had to resign. She said the most ignorant thing I think I've heard so far this year. She said that there was never any racism before Obama, and that she lived through the 60s and there were no race issues in the 60s. And I thought to myself, I grew up in East New York, Brooklyn at that time, which was a powder keg of racial rioting and whatnot. And I said, wow, it must be nice to have been born in the middle of white America where you weren't even touched by that. You don't even know that that happened. Now you look at the racial issues going on in this country, which I think is a lot of baiting as well. to get people to fight against each other. Because as long as we're killing each other, they're getting, you know, they're getting their groove on. You know, they're setting up for martial law. I think something horrific's going to happen before the end of this year.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all, Maria. We've been speculating what it could be that would be the justification for imposing martial law. The most likely candidates to me have been, World War III breaking out in the Middle East, number one. Number two, an attack using nukes in Chicago, probably, that would be blamed on Iran or Russia, just as they're claiming the Russians are hacking into American, election files and all that, which is complete and total rubbish. I mean, this is just more CIA nonsense. It's supposed to justify taking strong measures against Russia and tarnishing Trump because he thinks it's better to have peaceful relations with the world's other superpower. But over and beyond that, you know, what it could be is a bit of an open question.
Yeah, but you sent me something. God, you sent me so many slides. I was like, oh, what a slideshow. You sent me an article, Michelle Obama's passport leaked in new hack blamed on Russia.
Yeah. Well, it's a fabricated piece, Maria. I'm telling you, they make this stuff up. I mean, this is what our government has been reduced to, making stuff up, so that, as you can see in the next story, you know, the Department of Homeland Security is supposed to be taking over our elections. Now, as I understand it, I mean, that would be the obvious open way to steal the election. You do election theft on the ground that you're protecting the people from Russian hacking, when in fact you're dictating the outcome, which of course would be Hillary becoming president. So that's what's going on here. My understanding, however, is that the laws that govern elections aren't going to allow it to happen.
Yeah, I would think that would be illegal. I would think that should be illegal. Now, the bigger story, which of course I wanted to talk to you about, even though Congress passed the bill, both sides of the aisle, that 9/11 victims' families can sue Saudi Arabia, Obama vetoed the bill. Do you think that they can override his veto?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. The bill was passed basically on voice votes. It actually hadn't gone out of committee, but because of the approaching observance of 9/11 in the House, it was moved to a direct vote on the House. The Senate had a voice vote, 100-0. This Obama siding with Saudi Arabia over the American people in relation to 9/11 is outrageous. It's going to tarnish his reputation permanently. It's going to have fallout for Hillary as Obama's successor. It was a completely disgusting thing for him to have done. But then look, Maria, right after they passed that bill, they turn around and vote to give $100 billion in weapons sales to Saudi Arabia. I mean, how outrageous is that? Are we dealing with a group of schizophrenics in the Senate?
Right. Well, how about now they want to do another government shutdown because they don't want to give any money to Flint, Michigan, but we just gave $38 billion to Israel for military.
Yeah, and I don't believe any of that foreign aid to Israel is legal. Our foreign policy guidelines stipulate that no country may be receive foreign aid if it has undeclared stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction. Israel has massive stockpiles of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons it has never declared. It's completely outrageous. And Israel is aiding and abetting ISIS. But of course then, as I pointed out already, ISIS was created by the United States. It was made in the USA.
Well, even the Saudis said that.
Our hypocrisy in the Middle East is beyond words.
Okay, so Bush and the Obama administration are giving the Saudis a pass on 9/11. Who do you think is pressuring them to do that? Do you think it's because Bush doesn't want his administration exposed?
More revelations about United States complicity. In fact, when this bill was first being passed, the Saudis threatened not only to pull out $750 billion in investments from the United States, but also to expose that the United States had attacked the United States. In fact, it actually appeared in the Saudi press at the time that the United States attacked the United States on 9/11. In fact, I was so struck by that, I put it on the back cover of the book, America Nuked on 9/11, which is my latest from Moon Rock Books. I mean, This is a real revelation of who was responsible and how and why it was done. It's unbelievable, Bria, but the Saudis are pissed off enough that they're willing to call a spade a spade. They were involved, but in a rather tangential fashion, even though 15 of the 19 alleged hijackers were from Saudi Arabia, the number from Iraq was zero.
Right. Well, isn't it interesting that it took 15 years for the mainstream media to report that 15 of those 19 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia? All of a sudden, they're saying that all the time. But they never said it back in the day.
Well, I can't recall when they were first identified as having been from Saudi Arabia. My impression had been that it was fairly early on, but I could be mistaken about that.
Well, yeah, it was early, but they didn't make a big deal out of it. But now it seems every article on this, they're mentioning that over and over again.
Well, because you had the 28 pages that were suppressed of a 9/11 commission report that were about Saudi financing for some of the alleged terrorists. But, you know, six or seven of these guys turned up alive and well the following day. They were in contact with the British media, which meant, of course, that they weren't commandeering commercial carriers and causing them to crash. In fact, my research in collaboration with others has substantiated none of the 9/11 aircraft crashed on 9/11. Two of them weren't even in the air. Flight 11, North Tower 77, Pentagon. And the other two, Flight 93, for example, based upon pilots for 9/11, true study of air ground communication, but Flight 93 was over Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, after it supposedly crashed in Shanksville. Flight 175 was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, long after it had purportedly hit the South Tower. And I obtained Federal Aviation Administration registration records showing that the planes that were used for those two flights were not even deregistered or formally taken out of service until 28 September 2005. So how can planes that weren't even in the air have crashed on 9/11, and how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later?
Exactly, exactly. I mean, you know, for my listeners, if you haven't seen the film Operation Terror, by all means, find it and see it, because I think it's one of the best what really could have happened or did happen on 9/11 films I've seen ever. And I think I've seen them all. I'm sick of watching them, to tell you the truth. Syria.
You know,
go ahead.
What's especially good about Operation Terror by Art Olivier, by the way, Maria, is it creates a narrative within which you can understand what was going on in 9/11 and why it happened. Organization like architects and engineers talk about Building 7, but they have no narrative. They won't even talk about who was responsible and why, which means they're a limited hangout. If you want to address who was responsible and why and place it in a narrative context, it simply has no significance except as esoterica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you and I have discussed that so many times. It's like executive action with JFK's assassination. You know, it kind of gives you that this is most probably what really happened and how it went down.
Yeah, that's an excellent movie. And, of course, I also admire Oliver Stone's magnificent JFK. Even though it's not flawless, he didn't understand the Zapruder film had been revised to eliminate the limo stop, which turns out to have been very substantial in duration, where JFK was hit twice in the head while the limousine was at a halt. He didn't understand that actually Lee Oswald was standing in the doorway at the time, which even early students, including Jim Garrison, by the way, who is portrayed in the film, recognized, and that, in fact, there were at least six hit teams, so I've identified six shooters where they were located, the shots they took and the effect. You can find that six JFK shooters named, three tied to CIA, Oswald not among them, online.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk a little bit more about Syria. Assad this week came out and said that the U.S. deliberately targeted their troops. He's not buying it was an accident. He said there were four planes that kept the bombing going for at least an hour, so that could not have been an accident.
Yeah.
Why are we even there? I mean, what business is it of ours, and why are we there? Are we just there to support ISIS?
No. We're there to take out Assad. We're there on behalf of Israel. The whole master plan for 9/11 was to get the United States engaged in the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israeli domination of the entire region. Well, Wesley Clark learned the plan when he returned to the Pentagon from serving as Supreme Commander Allied Forces Europe. That means Commanding General of NATO, and he revealed it at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco in 2007, where he explained the plan was to take out these seven countries in the next 5 years, beginning with Iraq and Libya, ending with Syria and Iran. Because of Russian intervention, it hasn't played out that way, but not for lack of trying. Indeed, this latest incident shows we're still trying. We created ISIS to be a buffer to put further pressure on Assad. It's all been covert, very dirty, trying to pave the way for the expansion of Israel to dominate the entire region from the Tigris-Euphrates to the Nile.
Well, that's been my thought all along, as Israel never seems to have enough. They want it all. And, you know, both candidates already met. You know, I think they had a big meeting with Netanyahu this week, who seems to be keeping a little low profile, which is kind of weird for a Netanyahu.
Well, it was grandstanding, though, you know, to go to speak to the candidates right before the debate. I mean, that was trying to make it clear that he's a player, that he makes a difference, and that his political clout remains unequal. And of course, the role of the
we're getting a ghost in your phone. You're ghosting out, so I'm going to have to pause this.
So Netanyahu came to grandstand to show he was still a player, that he still makes a difference by meeting with both of the candidates shortly before the debate, which ordinarily would be unheard of. But that's typical of his mode of operation, where the role of the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, they call them Public Affairs Committee, has been unparalleled in American history, where I'm sure we've discussed how Cynthia McKinney has recently revealed that when a new Congress member comes to Washington, D.C., they're asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of those of the United States. And those who refuse to sign find themselves confronted next time around with a well-financed alternative candidate, or even that their district has been redrawn. We have to get rid of the influence of Israel over our Congress if we want to regain control of our own destiny.
I agree, and they don't just control Congress. They control the media. I mean, they control so much. They've admitted they've been spying us on us for years. You remember when Bill Moyers came out with that special? God, that had to be, what, in the 70s? When he admitted that Israel was spying on every phone call, everything going on in this country, and it's like...
Well, it remains the case that all of our NSA raw data goes directly to Israel. It's received in Tel Aviv as soon as it's received by the United States, so they have access to all of our intelligence. It's completely outrageous, but it's the status quo, of which Hillary would be a continuation. I think actually they're worried that Trump is unpredictable. That it's easy to see that Hillary will continue things as they are, but that Trump will be a new broom, and they can't quite predict how he's going to sweep clean.
Well, don't you think that he would be putting himself in quite a bit of international danger by not playing ball?
Of course.
I mean, I
do think that he, like some, have the courage to stand up for what's right. I actually have a lot of faith in him, Maria, notwithstanding our differences of opinion here.
Oh, good. I'm not losing you as a friend because of these idiots. You're too good a source for other information. But you know what? With Israel spying on us and what we know to be true, doesn't that explain why you had the Israelis in New York on 9/11 ready to film the towers coming down?
Of course. Absolutely. 100%. The dancing Israelis in Liberty State Park across the Hudson from the towers. They were filming, celebrating. A resident thought it looked very, very odd, notified the police, and when they were arrested, the driver told the officer that they were not the problem, that our problem is their problem. The problem is the Palestinians, which is about as ridiculous as it gets. there were residues of explosives in the van. This was an urban moving systems van that even had a mural of a plane approaching the Twin Towers on the side of it. I mean, this is so ridiculous. They had passports, money, box cutters in the vehicle. There was another of these vans, Maria, that was heading toward George Washington Bridge loaded with explosives. Another was supposed to have taken out the Holland Tunnel. If they carried out the whole operation, it would have been quite a calamity.
Absolutely. So, you know, and let's not leave out, what was the name of that firm they had in the World Trade Center? Was it Indigo or something like that, where they had pre-warning to get out of there?
That was an Israeli messaging service that was letting everyone know that they shouldn't come into work that day. I even had a little old lady in Brooklyn call me to tell me that the rabbi had told the members of the synagogue they should not go into Lower Manhattan that day. So they were taking precautions to protect their own.
Right. Well, a lot of people got warnings that day, except the people that were in the buildings.
Brown was warned by Condoleezza Rice he shouldn't fly that day. Interesting how Condoleezza Rice would reach out to someone very specific like Willie Brown and give that warning. She, of course, like Dick Cheney, George W. Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, Richard Pearl, Paul Wolfowitz. These were all core members of the group that brought us 9/11.
Right, and I'm assuming you're talking about PNAC.
Well, no, I'm talking about they were then in the Department of Defense, because these members of PNAC came into the Department of Defense and had high positions when Bush and Cheney came into office. That's why it was so vital to rig the election in Florida to make sure they got into office so they could bring us 9/11 and transform American foreign policy and pass the Patriot Act to create the Department of Homeland Security, which merged 35 different agencies that have been working perfectly well before the event into a new colossus modeled after the East German Stasi, widely recognized as the most efficient secret police ever created by the hand of man.
Well, and it looks like that Stasi stayed in place in this country because people are getting murdered over traffic stops. It's really incredible, you know, the amount of people getting killed in this country and how they've upped their game. So it kind of makes you wonder, what do they have planned for an October surprise?
Yeah, I can't see a whole lot of options. I mean, but those are a couple of them. Of course, they have been trying to provoke a race war. I do think that's an effort that has been deliberate. Since the election of Barack Obama, I don't think people feel the same degree of racial tension they did before. I mean, having a black president says something about how far the country has come in dealing with race relations. And by the way, I thought that Donald made some telling points about how it was Hillary's campaign that first initiated the birther issue. In fact, her former campaign manager was interviewed just a week before and acknowledged as much. So I thought that was a bit too much. Lester Holt, after it had already been discussed, you notice, went back to the issue. That was really out of place. That was improper on his part. And I found the Rudy Giuliani interview where he's saying he felt that the moderator was so out of place by trying to correct one of the candidates. That's why he thought that Trump ought to blackball. It's not going to happen. By the way, there's some reports about on Facebook that the figures for correspondence were simply staggering. That there was something like 73 million exchanges about Trump that were going on during the debate. And 20 million or so about Hillary. I mean, this was a huge event.
Absolutely. Well, it was the very first time that a debate's been shown on social media. I mean, that's a little piece of history. I got to watch it on YouTube in the pleasure of my living room instead of having to watch it on a computer. Jim, we're out of time. This was another fast, speedy hour. Take care of yourself. Don't get yourself all wild and crazy.
Hey, take care, my friend. It's always wonderful to be with you.
Okay, we'll talk soon. Take care. Jim Fetzer, check out his work. He's got tons of great books out. And, of course, always make up your own mind. And I'd be damned that I'm going to argue with anybody when we all know and we have proven since the day Greg Palast landed on our shores that we have the best democracy money can buy and that your vote's been stolen forever And the last probable real president we had was probably John Kennedy. Anyway, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for putting up with us. And I'll see you guys on Thursday when I'm back with the news. But before I leave, I will be on Richie Allen's show out of the UK at 1 o'clock today, 1:05 p.m. Pacific time. So that's a little over an hour from now. So hopefully you'll get to tune into Richie's show. Thanks again for supporting mine.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.